Shalom Aleichem. For Parsha Shlach, we'll Amir Tashem have 7 Divrei Torah. Before getting to the Divrei Torah, quick overview of at least some of the Parsha. It's action-packed. We have Klal Yisrael. They had requested that we send Meraglim, we send spies into the land of Canaan, into the land of Israel, so we can see what's going on, prepare militarily to enter the land. And they were chosen a leader from each of the 12 Shvatim, so 12. Total of 12, and amongst them were Yehoshua and Caleb, the 2 of the 12 that were the quote-unquote good ones. Then we had the 10 that reported negatively when they came back about Eretz Yisrael. They were in the land for 40 days, came back, gave a negative report. There was hysteria in Klal Yisrael, people panicking. We can't go into that land. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has it with Klal Yisrael and the complaints, and he wants to annihilate Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu once again steps up, davens for Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does say, okay, I'm not going to destroy them, but there's a decree of 40 years to be spent in the Midbar, and that generation will die out, and it will only be the new generation that will enter the land of Israel. So that's a good portion of the Parsha, and then we'll get into other areas as well shortly. So starting at the way beginning of the Parsha, it says, Shlach lecha anashim v'yasuru, choose for yourselves, choose anashim, choose dignified people, and they should go and spy the land. So this is a story that happened that is going to use this pasuk, not as it was anticipated, but as a drasha, and it's going to sound a little bit flippant, but we'll learn an important lesson from it. This is actually from a sefer that we'll see a number of Divrei Torah from, called Chiyucha Shel Torah, the smile of Torah. So Reb Chaim Ibrisk, he once sent a meshulach, somebody to collect money from faraway towns on behalf of a given yeshiva, a charity. And he went on his ways and he departed on his trip. After a while, he came back and he submitted all of the expenses and all of the hachnasos, everything that he was able to raise. So they went through the accounts together. So everything he raised, he accounted for, and also all the expenses of his travels, and also the portion that he would take for his salary, for his percentage of what he raised. And in the end of the day, there was almost nothing left for the yeshiva, because you raise X, but you spend Y and you take a percentage for yourself, and those are close numbers, so there's not going to be much left for the charity that was being collected for. So Reb Chaim says as follows, now I finally understand the pasuk in our parsha, at the beginning of our parsha, Shlach lecha anashim v'yasuru, to choose for yourself people and they will go and spy, but he used it in a different way. He says, Shlach lecha shluchim, when you send out shluchim, when you send people to go collect for you, ke'elu, shiyasiru mashu ledavar shebishvilo nishlechu, they should leave over. Instead of v'yasuru, meaning to spy out, he says, shiyasiru, they should leave over something for the charity that is being collected for. In other words, he was saying, it's nice that you went out and raised, but there's nothing, almost nothing left for the charity, for the yeshiva that was being raised for. And the message here is that we have fiduciary duties and responsibilities, and we also always have to remember the purpose for what we are being sent. And even though people should earn a parnasa, but ultimately, if we work on behalf of a charity, we work on behalf of a tzedakah, we work on behalf of a company, that has to be foremost in our mind, that we are there to make a profit and benefit the company and the charity. And obviously, we want to get paid, but life and how we act is not about us. It's not about us, but it's how we can really benefit for the common good of others as well. So that is an important message here, that Shlach lecha anashim, when you send people, you have a task, you have a purpose. Ultimately, we want to benefit ourselves, but the ultimate purpose has to be beneficial for the people who are sending us, for the people who we are working on their behalf. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. We had the punishment, the decree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, for each of the days that the Meraglim were in the land of Israel, there is going to be a year. Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana is going to be a year that you're going to spend in the Midbar. So they were in the land of Israel 40 days. You're going to be in the Midbar 40 years. And Klal Yisrael will die out. And during that time that you will be spending, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you will understand the severity of the sin that you did in doubting going into the land of Israel. It says in the Pasuk V'yadatam, we're now in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Lamedal V'yadatam as Tuno Asi, you will understand, comprehend that you strayed from me. Now Rashi says as follows, Shani Osam es Lavavchem Acharai, that you removed your hearts from me, Lashon Asara. This means removing yourselves. You should have been on the derech, you should have listened, but you removed yourself from what should have been done. So the Akarbi Paz has a very interesting explanation as to what's going on. He really gives a nice conceptual framework as to what the Meraglim were thinking and what they did wrong. So he says that these Meraglim were great people. They were great people. They were chosen for a reason. They were leaders of the respective Shvatim, of the respective tribes. However, Tsar Hayalahem La'azov Es HaMidbar, they did not want to leave the Midbar. They viewed the Midbar as a place that they were on a very high spiritual level. They were living like the angels, Kemalachei Mala. How is that? They were eating from the man which came from heaven. So their sustenance was from heaven. Their drink, what they were drinking, the water came from the Be'er of Miriam. They were ensconced in the Anei HaKavod, the clouds of glory, and they were protected. They were on the highest of level, living like angels. It was very spiritual living, a very, very spiritual way to live. And then to go into the land of Israel meant going down a level. Significantly, they would have to plow the land, and they would have to sow the land, and they'd have to work hard, and it would be so mundane to go from living like an angel to being just a plebeian. That is not something that they wanted to do. It looked up here, they viewed it as they were going down from a very high ruchnius level to a very lowly level. And that's what why they didn't want to do it. They said, this is not going to be good for ruchnius. Ultimately, they had a positive reason in mind. It wasn't about them personally, at least based on this explanation. It was about what is a better way to live. It's a better way to be on a higher level of ruchnius. However, Oved Hashem Amiti, somebody who's really a Oved Hashem, somebody who really cares about the desires of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, is not going to become such a Chacham. Analyze it so much. What do I think is the best? What do I think is the best for my Ruchnias? And effectively violate the desires of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, thinking you know better than God. If God tells you go into the land of Israel, even you think it's not a good idea, even you think you're going to be lowering your level of Ruchnias, it doesn't matter. You have to adhere to what God says. You have to go after what God says. And accordingly, we're going to go back and understand what is going on in the Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to spend the years in the Midbar, and this generation is going to die out. V'yadatam es tunasi, you're going to understand, you'll comprehend how you strayed from me, even though your kavanah, your intentions were good. You, the Meraglim, the Ten Meraglim, you had good intentions and you wanted to maintain your level of ruchnias. Bechozos chatasem bazesh esartem alai. Nonetheless, you sinned. You sinned because you refused. You removed yourselves using your own wisdom and your own logic was not the same as what God desires. So we may have ultimately good intentions. We mechavim in shem shamayim, and we may go through an analysis. But in the end of the day, if it's not what God wants us to do, we can't do it. And in fact, we also see in the Pasuk that it says, when it came to Kalev, my Evid Kalev, Ekev Asher Haisa Ruach Acheresimo, he had a different Ruach. He had a different approach to things. In other words, even though Kalev understood so, also that we're living in the Midbar and that's on a higher level of spirituality, we don't want to go down, but nonetheless, V'yimalei Acharai. But Kalev said, I understand the thoughts of the other Meraglim. They're thinking L'shem Shamayim, but I'm going after God. I'm being mevatel my desires to stay in the Midbar. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. And that was the divergence between the 10 of the Nesim, the 10 the Nesim, as using that as leaders, the leaders of the Meraglim. Their view was, we're going to analyze things and we're going to go based on our own thoughts, which is oftentimes a good thing, but not when you're violating the requirements of God. But Kalev said, I understand their thoughts. They're the chmechav and the shem shanamai. But ultimately, God says to go into the land. That is what we need to do. Kalev and Yeshua, that's what we need to do. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We are in Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Mem, a little bit later, a few Pesukim later, Hinenu Va'alinu, that once Klal Yisrael was told about the decree, and you're going to be dying out, they said, we're Chozer B'tshuva, we're going to listen, we're ready to go into the land of Israel, we're ready to go, we're going to listen to God. It says, Hinenu Va'alinu, Ela Makom Asher Amar Hashem Ki Chatanu, we're ready to go in, because we have sinned. And the question is asked by the Baal Shem Tov, they did tshuva here, they said Chatanu. When somebody says, Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati, when somebody says, I did a sin, I forgive, God forgive me, he's Chozer B'tshuva, we forgive him. So why here do we have Klal Yisrael, they did a sin, here they're saying Chatanu, they admit they did something wrong, why is it God not forgiving them? And why move forward with the decree of this 40 years in the desert and they have to die off and they can't go into the land? Now they've done Chozer B'tshuva, they did something wrong, you Chozer B'tshuva, let them in. So the Baal Shem Tov says, very interestingly, he says here, they are not saying they sinned. They are not confessing that they sinned, but rather, if you look at the language, it says, Amar Hashem ki chatanu. He says, God said we sinned. In our eyes, we didn't sin, but we're confessing to have done something wrong simply because God says we did something wrong. Okay, you say we did something wrong. We ask for forgiveness from that. So that's not a real charata. That's not somebody who has regret, who's confessing to doing something wrong. It's like saying to somebody gets upset at us, and we say to them, because we did something wrong, I did something wrong, and I say to them, I'm sorry you're upset. I'm sorry you're getting upset at me. It's not that I'm sorry I did something wrong to upset you, that I'm simply sorry that you're getting upset at me. So that's not saying I did something wrong. That simply said, I'm sorry you feel bad. I'm sorry you get upset at me. So the same thing here, says the Baal Shem Tov, it's not that they're saying we are sinners, we did something wrong, we're confessing, we really acknowledge we did something wrong, but they're simply saying, God said we did something wrong, okay, we apologize for that. Now we're moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. It says in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yutes, the mitzvah of Challah, that when Klal Yisrael will eventually go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, they will have the mitzvah of Challah. When you have a dough, you're going to take off of the first dough, you're going to take off a piece and give it to the Kohanim. It says, Tarimu Truma LaHashem. So this again is from the Sefer of Chiyucha Shel Torah. That's why it's a little flippant, but we'll hopefully learn an important lesson from it nonetheless. So that there was a maisa that happened when the great tzaddik, he was an Amora, Hasidish, a Rebbe, Rav Moshe Mikubrin, he passed away. So his Hasidim looked to find the replacement. So they decided the replacement is going to be Rav Avram Islonim, living in the city of Slonim, Rav Avram, who was a Rosh Hashiva then, but he wasn't an Amor, he wasn't a Hasidish, a Rebbe. And they decided, we are going to have him as our more. We're going to hire him as our Hasidish Rebbe. So they went out of Avram Islonim, and they made him the Admor, they made him the Rebbe. And it happened to be that one time the Rav of the city of Slonim, his name was Rav Eisel Harif, the Rav of Slonim, he met together with the new Hasidish Rebbe, Rav Avram Islonim. And Rav Eisel Harif, who was actually against Hasidus, so he says to the new Hasidish Rebbe, Rav Avram Islonim as follows, Haketzah, Rav Avram, you're now a Hasidish Rebbe. How can it be, up into now, you were a Talmud Chacham, you were a Rosh Hashiva, but you weren't a Rebbe. You weren't an Admor with all these Hasidim, and overnight they make you an Admor, they make you Kadosh, Kadosh, Yikru Lecha, you're holy. How does such a transformation happen immediately that you went from being a regular Talmud Chacham, maybe a special Talmud Chacham, but to being a Hasidish, a Rebbe, to being something an Admor that have Hasidim looking up to him? Up to you. So Rav Avram, the new Hasidish Rebbe, Rav Avram says, it's really not a Pella. There's nothing really so shocking here. It's just like Truma. It's just like Challah. In the beginning, this is simply produce that comes from the land. We have wheat. We have wheat kernels. And it's just regular produce. But once they decide that they're going to take Truma, or they're going to take Challah from it, that makes it holy. That Challah itself, or that Truma that's given to the coin, that becomes healthy, and it's prohibited to eat it when it's Tameh. When you're Tameh, then you have to treat it specially. It takes on a special status. So too, you can have somebody that's normal, and when they decide to make him Kadosh, can happen overnight. He can become Kadosh. So Rav Eisel, the Rav of the city, responds back. So if we're looking at the halachas of Truma, There is another halacha that a chayre shot of a katan, if you have a deaf mute, if you have a shot of somebody who has mental incapacity and a katan, somebody below the age of bar mitzvah doesn't have knowledge, when they take truma, that is not considered truma. Effectively, what he's saying here is your chassidim that decided upon you, they're like a chayre shot of a katan, they're like deaf mutes, they're the mental incapacitated, and also they're katanim to make you, and accordingly, it's not an effective making you that more. That's a little flippant of a statement by Hid, but what the concept here that we can learn from it is what Rav Eisel Harif was saying, the Rav of Slonim, is things take work, and you can't go through an immediate transformation to go from X to Y. It takes a lot of time, effort, hasmada, learning, and if you want to become a kadosh, great. But it shouldn't happen overnight like that. There's not such a thing. You really have to work hard in order to get a new status. That is learned from the halachas of truma. Truma, it does happen overnight. When it comes to people, it takes a lot more than that. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5. It's Perek Tesva, Pasuk Chaf. And this is also continuing with the halachas of Chala, Reishis, Ariso, Sechem, Chala, Tarimu, Truma. So your first kneading should be taken as challah. So if you have a dough, as soon as it becomes a dough, right then, don't bake it. When it's a dough, take challah. So when it's young, right then, take the challah off. So the Avodas Yisrael says as follows, you shouldn't say, people should not say when they are younger, I'm going to enjoy life, I'm going to live the good times, I'm not going to be koveitim latorah, I'm not going to learn, or maybe a little bit, but I'm really not going to focus on my Judaism, I got other things that I need to prioritize, and I'm simply going to deprioritize my yahadus, my learning and the like, and I'll get back to it when I get older. Then I'll be a yirei shamayim, and then I'll learn. The Torah is telling us otherwise when it comes to the mitzvah of challah, reishis ariso sechem tarimu truma lashem, reishis, the beginning, when it's just a dough, when you're at the beginning of your life, when you're young, that is when we are obligated. Don't wait. We are obligated from very young, the Kaddish es chayechem to make our lives holy, ulaharimam el darkei harbore, to we have to raise ourselves to the ways of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what we learn from the halachas of challah. When it's just a dough, just at the beginning is when you start being mafrish, you take off the dough, it has that holiness. So too when we are young. We can't wait. We can't wait till we get older. And then when we get older, we'll find God. It has to be our entire lives. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 6. I think that was number 5. Now number 6. Now we're going to take this from the Tam Vadas of Moshe Sternbach. At the end of the parsha, talks about the Mekoshesh. Mekoshesh was somebody who was Mechal Shabbos, this very second Shabbos. Somebody goes out and is Mechal Shabbos. It's a Machlokes, in the Gemara, what was the actual Chilul Shabbos? We just, for example, one was that he did Hotzah carried when he didn't have an Erev. So the Medrash explains this was Slavchad. It doesn't mention his name, interestingly, but the Medrash says that Slavchad, who was the person who was the Mekoshes Eitzim, he went and collected Eitzim, or he carried Eitzim in Rosh Hashanah in a public area when there was no Eruv. He was Mechav in the Shem Shamayim. He had really the greatest of thoughts. I am going to be Mechal Shabbos for a good reason. What was the good reason? Because there were people of Klal Yisrael after the Chet of the Meraglim, and after the decree that we're not going into the land of Israel, so they said, what does it matter? Why should we bother keeping the Torah? We're going to die out anyway in this Midbar, so there's no reason for us to keep the Torah. And Slavchad said, I need to teach them a lesson, that even if we're not going into the land of Israel, we still have to adhere to the requirements of the Torah. Don't violate the Torah. And accordingly, he showed them he violated the Torah and he was put to death. He wanted to see what, you want to see what happens when you violate the Torah? I'll show you. So he was a Mechalo Shabbos, he profaned Shabbos, L'shem Shamayim, for good reasons, to teach Klal Yisrael a lesson. You can't do this. You cannot violate the Torah. You have to adhere to the Torah. Now, because he was Mechavan the Shem Shamayim, because he had the most positive intentions, he was Moser Nefesh for this, It doesn't say his name in order to not embarrass him, but nonetheless, he was punished because the action he took. He may have had good intentions. His intentions were Shem Shamayim, but his actions were terrible, and for that he was punished, and he was put to death. He was put to death because of that. So Rav Moshe Sternbach says as follows, Ki ein derech hayadus ela b'chashivus hamaisa. When it comes to what's important as a Jew, the requirements of the Torah, action is required. The proper actions are required, and we are punished if we don't do the proper actions, even if we have the right intentions. We are mechav neshem shamayim. I feel I have a close affinity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My thoughts are there, but my actions aren't. You get punished because the actions are absolutely critical. And he says as follows, Va'osam ha-to'anim. There are people who make the claim that she'ahadusam shochenes b'tochachei libam. I feel Jewish. I identify as Jewish. I'm so identified as a Yid, as a Jew, and that's all I have to do. People say that. That is an absolute fundamental mistake, because even if you have the right thoughts, I'm a chavlim shem shemayim, it is a sin to not do the actions required from the Torah. And that's what we learn from the Mekoshesh. Mekoshesh, he did. He was mechavin l'shem shamayim. And that's a nice thing to do. But when it comes to the actions, if you're not going to do the actions properly, even if your thoughts are correct, but the actions are not correct, that is going to be in warrant. That is going to warrant a punishment. And here he's put to death because he was Mechalel Shabbos. An important message. People identify, feel Jewish. That is not enough. The Torah tells us what is required. We need to do the actions. Actions are absolutely critical. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.